Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. My name is Jonathan Tate. I'm one of the associate pastors at Running for Christ Ministries, and I will be your Saturday school teacher this morning. And we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 3, picking up at verse 14. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for brand new day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for keeping us from last night until this morning. We thank you for our journey through Ephesians, Lord. Pray that you would continue to plant your seeds in us so that we can flourish and grow, and that we can grow and plant seeds with others, Lord. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. I always liked how Paul addresses the Lord and how he believes, and he states strictly the truth. When I think of all this, and this is continuing from the Lord has done for him and for us, unifying us as God's children, regardless of being Jews or Gentiles, we're all unified as God's children. And Paul is saying, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. This is how we accomplish any and everything. It has to have God's seal of approval, and it has to be Spirit-led and sealed for us to accomplish anything. You know, no matter what you have, no matter what experience you have on your job, all of those opportunities come from the Lord. And just the mere fact that he saved us from our sins and through our elder brother Jesus Christ, then we have more than enough reason to say, you know, thank you, Lord, and whatever you need me to do, continue to empower me, continue to encourage and inspire me so that we can be about his will. Because as we know, Paul definitely was about spreading the gospel, the good news, so that he could do his part in expanding God's kingdom and pushing forward God's agenda. Because regardless of what we say or do, God's agenda is going to push forward. So I'm thankful that we can go to the Father and say, encourage me and empower me to do your will according to your Spirit. And I'm thankful for that opportunity. Amen. Amen. Verse 17 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. This is awesome stuff that we're reading here. You know, the mere fact that God's very presence resides in his children in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, Christ is, once you invited him into your heart, he set up shop and he's there forever. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Brothers and sisters, in these days and times, we should all realize that we need the Savior. And I wouldn't want to live this life, especially in these days and times, without Christ being in my heart, so that I can be strengthened and encouraged to move through each and every day. You know, I don't know how people make it without Christ in their hearts. I've been saved since I was 10, and actually coming up in a week or so, it'll be 34 years that I've been saved. And I never regret that decision, that the day I gave my life and my heart to Christ. He's brought me through some tough times. He's brought me through some sweet, easy times, and he sustains me and keeps me. So it's important that we have Christ in our hearts so we can trust him, and our roots can grow down into God's love deep down and keep us strong. Amen. Amen. Verse 18 says, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I want to read to you the footnote that goes along with that, because it is very detailed in describing that verse. It says, God's love is total, says Paul. It reaches corner of our experience. It is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience, and it reaches out to the whole world. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. It is high. It rises to the heights of our celebration and elation. His love is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and even death. When you feel shut out or isolated, remember that you can never be lost to God's love. For another prayer about God's immeasurable, inexhaustible love, see Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I can't add anything to that. I have, in these past 30-plus years, have experienced God's love, and it's unconditional. It's more than enough for what you need in this life. No amount of money, no amount of fame, or no amount of education or prestige can surpass or even compare to God's love. And if we take time to think about that God loved us before the foundation, and he chose us before the foundation and creation of the world, that should be enough for us to say, hey, let me tell someone about Jesus. Let me display God's love in my community, in my household, in my church, in the world. But God's love encompasses everything, and it's unconditional. And I'm so thankful that I've been able to experience it, because he chose me and he loved me first. Amen. Amen. Verse 19 says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, I walk around with my goals for my life in my wallet, and today the Lord had me read them. And one of my goals is to tap into my full potential and power. And based upon Ephesians 3:19, all of that is wrapped up in Christ. That's how we reach the fullness of our life and power, because it comes from God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit provide everything literally that we need to reach our full potential. And I have to use the verb in this proper tense, has provided life and power. Everything that we need to be awesome and great, the Lord planted in us in the womb. Probably if we're being honest, before the womb. He planted all the power, all the fullness, all everything that we need to be great. We already have it. So we just have to walk in it. We have to be who we are, which are God's children, and understand who he is and appreciate who he is. Amen? Amen. Verse 20 says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it says to accomplish through his mighty power at work with more than we might ask or think. You know, for years, I would say, well, I want to make this amount of money, you know, or I want to do this, I want to do that. And I noticed that everything that I said was bound by a limit. And I realized the closer I got to the Lord and the more I read about him and the more I start to digest his instruction for me daily, I realized that he's not bound by limits, so that I don't have to set limits on me because of who my father, who my elder brother, who my counselor. I don't have to do that. Because the things that he has already accomplished in me, I just have to walk in it and tap into it. It's more than I can ask or think. So, brothers and sisters, I'm encouraging you to not place limits on your life. You don't know what the Lord has for you unless you go to him and you talk to him and he reveals it to you. But don't place limits on who you already are, because we're God's children, we don't have limits. Now, granted, we have some physical limitations because of this body and because we're on earth and with our time, but as far as the things that the Lord has planted in you to do and to accomplish, you know, I always pray for my children and always ask that they're highly successful in who you design them to be. And I hope and pray that for each and every one of you, and myself included, that we pray that prayer and we walk in it so that we can be highly successful in who God designed us to be, because he will accomplish more than infinitely, without limit, more than we ask or think. And glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, moving on to chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1. It says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Paul is in prison thinking about generations to come of God's people. And he's begging us to live a life worthy of our calling, because we have been called by God. Remember, if you go all the way back to chapter 1, this verse ties into the fact that God chose us before the creation of the world. So we are called, we're special, we're separated, we're set aside for God's purpose, because he called us. And we need not take that lightly. Out of billions and billions and billions and trillions of whatever people, I know it's billions on the planet now, but just throughout history, understand that God called you. That's a special privilege and honor, I'm being honest. And I'm thankful for that, because we can spend eternity with him. So we already got the hookup for all eternity. But right now, while we're on earth, despite our circumstances, like Paul writing from prison, being persecuted, we can think about and expand God's kingdom and his agenda based upon who we are already called to be. Think about that daily as you walk through this life. It's not just about you. The Lord had to remind me that this morning because I got to preach tomorrow, and I was fighting the word, and he was like, hey, it's not about you. You're going to do what I ask you to do. And that was the end of the conversation, honestly. So if he called me and he chose me, all I got to do is listen and walk in it. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Sometimes we are the total opposite of that. We are so impatient with people, especially when we feel like they're not doing what we think they should be doing or saying or being. Patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. The truth of the matter is, time and time again, we receive grace and mercy. Time and time again, God makes room for our faults. And he's constantly working for us. He allows us to fail so that we can learn. We have to be patient with each other out of love and allow people to be who they are. The truth of the matter is you don't have it all figured out, and I don't either. Only the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, has everything figured out. So you can listen and stop and learn from someone versus just being so quick to be impatient and jump on them. You never know. The answer you're looking for may be at the end of their 5-minute conversation. You just never know. And then take the time to teach someone. Help someone learn something. Correct them. In love, though, not in impatience. Amen? Amen. Verse 3 says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Is strictly about unity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit operate as one. Period. And I'm thankful for that. But that's a model for us. Despite responsibilities, despite different titles, the Holy Trinity operates as one. So whether you're a preacher or a teacher or a deacon or a lay member, a mother, we all have responsibilities to work together as one. And it says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Amen? Amen. Verse 4 says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Do you see the pattern of unity that we have to work together? I was sharing with my aunt one day that the problems of this world can be worked out if we work together. We can do more together than separate or fighting each other or divided. And that's something that I hope and pray that the community, the world, the country embrace is let's start working together regardless of our differences. One thing you'll find out is humans, we have a lot more in common than we do uncommon. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not all these divisions, all these denominations, all these attitudes and opinions. It's one Lord, one faith, one battle. And that's one beautiful thing I like about the Lord, is that he simplifies things for us. Naturally, we as humans, we complicate things. But he simplifies things, and I appreciate that. We're going to stop right there at verse 5 and pick up at verse 6 next week. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the unity of your word and your existence. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your instructions through your word, how we should treat each other, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should go about this thing called life here on earth. And we're thankful for that. I thank you, Lord, that you will bless this service, bless the preacher, bless the word that you have coming forth for this designated audience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, amen, amen, Jonathan. Very good lesson. I just like what you said about God, that we're all special and we're called by God. And God has a purpose for all of us. He has a plan for our life. I remember at our church, Mount Zion, the kids' choir used to say, God has... sing a song, and it says, God has a plan for our lives. So he does. He has a plan for all of our lives. And that was a good little song.
Yes, yep. I'm glad he does.
Yeah, he do. Yep. And then, hey, like you said, let people be who they are and appreciate who they are. And we just be ourselves. And then whatever we could bring to the table and bring to a person's life, we bring it. And whatever they could bring to our lives, we could, you know, like you say, we could learn from each other, you know.
Absolutely.
That's some good down-home stuff right there. And you have to be patient. You have to be patient with one another. Humble and gentle, and just treat people kindly. And if you treat people kindly, that will bring us to, you know, working together, respecting one another, respecting one another's ideals. You know my favorite verses, Romans, scriptures, Romans 12, 1 through 13, that we're not better. You know, we can't think of ourselves as better than anyone else, you know. Got to treat everybody right, and we're no better than anyone else. God loves us all the same, so that's how we should do. We should love everybody the same, and it says in there, love people genuinely. Don't just pretend to love them. Love them. Love them for real, you know, and this world would be a better place if we just do those few things that you talked about today. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So that was an excellent, excellent lesson. Got a lot out of that, I'm sure. And I hope everybody got something out of that. Yeah, it was just plain cut dry. And another thing, you can't live without Christ in your life. You just cannot. It's hard to do.
Not at all.
Oh, it makes everything work. It really do. It makes everything go smooth. It makes everything work. And going against them, it's just a big problem. You can't even see straight. You can't even see straight when you don't have God in your life. You just can't. You run into all kinds of obstacles. Hey, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And I really like it to say you're praying for your kids. We have to pray for our kids, you know, because God do have something for them. He, you know, you said, let them be who God designed for them to be, you know. And we do have to pray for our kids because they're up under us. And we got to pray for the protection until they learn how to pray for themselves. So, hey.
Yes, indeed.
So beautiful lesson. Can't wait to hear the rest of four. That was very good. So, thank you. We appreciate you and have the best day ever.
Thanks. Okay. You do the same.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. We are going to have a song, and then on the other side of this song, we're going to start our service. All right. Get your coffee and get ready.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, he touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord. The faithful man sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of pure joy to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth.
Of my hair, divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence, the fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance, even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns, you took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall, but with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Holy,
you know that it's holy, 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 yeah, yeah. is full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me.
Right, holy is the Lord, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministry, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us read scripture and prayer is our very own Sister Keela Freeman. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This morning's scripture will be coming from Colossians 3, 1 through 15, living the new life. Again, living the new life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was filled with world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. But put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who takes part in this worship service today. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, the prayers, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen, Sister Keela, living the new life. Thank you for scripture and prayer, and we appreciate you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to minister with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
But I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing my feet for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it. To do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say, this is my season for grace. For what else?
For favor.
This is my season to reap what I have sown. Everything is working together for my good. Hey, church, everything is working. Don't feel good, but it's working
for my good.
Say it again, y'all. For grace, for... I need somebody to prophesy with your body language. Just say, what you say? God is
Don't prophesy. I said he can't live. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You got to say it. Say it. In my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed.
For grace.
For favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all. You raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth and say, I've got a seed in the ground.
Hey, amen. Here's the favorite part right here. Listen to it.
And I don't care what your circumstance says. It's already getting better.
Oh, yeah. I don't care what your circumstance say. It is already getting better. Oh, the devil hate that. He hate that. When we believe what Romans chapter 8 tells us, you know, Pastor Jonathan Tate mentioned it in his teachings over there. He talked about, I think it was 38 and 39. Amen. All things work together for the good of those who love God. Do you love the Lord? And called according to his purpose. We find that out from the book of Ephesians, doing an excellent job on that. We understand this salvation we got and how to work in it and how to walk in it. You know, you don't ever have to worry about God fulfilling his promises. You know why? Because he's the everlasting God. He ain't just a
simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight.
Everlasting.
The Lord is my life salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my life salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You. Yes. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord. Say. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my life. Everybody sing.
The Lord is my life and salvation. Who shall I be?
What
I? Who shall I be afraid?
What I?
The Lord is my life and
salvation. Who shall I be?
Yeah.
Who shall I be afraid? I will.
we can remain confident because the Lord our God is the everlasting God. Amen. He don't run out. Amen. So we can remain confident, as Hebrews 11:1 tells us, that faith is the substance of things that we hope for. And it provides the evidence, gives us confidence in that thing, even though we don't have it right now. Why? Because God said it. And so we don't set our hopes on Washington. They can't walk left or right without falling, okay? They can't even stand up without sitting down and doing nothing. They can't even agree to disagree. Amen. You can't set your hope on Washington, the Democrats or the Republicans and them little baby independents. You can't put your hope in them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on him. He is able and he will. When you get that right down, deep down, like Willie Moe Jr. saying, "Yo, Shanana." I don't even know what that is, but it's somewhere deep down in you where you really, really, really believe for real, for real. Amen. When you get it in there like that, then you learn to be how to stand. Like Donnie McClurkin, when you've done all that you can, just stand. As Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, stand. After having done all, stand. Amen. We need to get to that place where we believe what old folks used to say. They used to say hallelujah anyhow. Yeah, old folks said that. They said hallelujah anyhow. I'm like, what are they talking about? Because of all the things that we have to face every single day from one Saturday to the next Saturday before we worship the Lord again. Hallelujah anyhow.
going on in my mind, trying to make me think my faith is counterfeit and what? No. Certain days it feel like my faith is running low. But it's a mustard seed, so I must believe in what I sow. Sowing tears, what you water will grow. Never fear, it's all under control. The storm is here, but I'm asleep on the boat. Oh, yeah. Everything I went through, I knew I would be blessed. Yeah. Trying to pull me down, but I see the mark, so I press. Christ fought me out so many times, why stress? Yeah. I'ma sing hallelujah anyhow through the test.
Hallelujah, anyhow. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Good old road music. Okay, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother and associate pastor, Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive associate pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see. And my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. no more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all over the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that song reminded me of something. And what it reminded me of is God never stops providing. Even when we don't see how our needs are going to be met, God never stops providing. So as I'm praying out loud this morning, I want you to remember that whatever you need, whatever you want, give it, tell God, and your need will be provided. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to talk to you as a collective body. Father, I'm praying out loud, but your children are listening to hear what you have to say to them. Father, the only way our needs can be provided is if we tell you what we need from you. Father, your word says in Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Father, your word doesn't say that our need will be provided by the devil. Your word says that our need will be supplied through Jesus Christ according to his will. Father, so whatever your children need, let them know that all they have to do is tell you what they need, and you will make a way for that need to be provided, Father. Jehovah McKinnis, the Holy Sanctified One, you set aside this sanctified time so that we could come to you as a collective body to tell you what we need. But we don't just come to you telling you what we need. We come to you as a collective body reminding you what you said in your word. Father, you said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, that you will keep our mind in perfect peace if we keep our minds focused on you, Father. So if any of your children need peace in the hearts and minds, Father, let them know what Isaiah 26:3 says. If any of your children need peace in their minds and hearts, Father, let them know what Psalm 46:1 says. Psalm 46:1 says that you are our refuge and our strength. That all we have to do is come to you if we need peace. That all we have to do is come to you if we need joy. Because it says that it says in your word that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You said that in Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, we are so grateful that you gave us the opportunity to be able to talk to you, Father. Father, there are some people, there are millions of people around the world who don't know you and can't talk to you because they've rejected you, Father. Thank God that you didn't reject us. But thank God that you chose us to be your end time church. Father, I pray for the leaders of this country. Father, fill them up with the wisdom of your word so they can do your will the way you want your will done here on earth. Father, you said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, heal their land, and forgive their sins. Father, forgive us for not listening to you when you call us to pray for our leaders. Forgive us for going against your word when you call us to read your word. Forgive us for being hard on our kids when you tell us to gently restore our kids back to you, Father. Father, the world is going crazy, but the world is only going crazy because the church is not on its job. The church's job is to fulfill your kingdom here on earth. And we're not doing that, Father. We are so busy being worried about breakthroughs and blessings. Father, I don't know about anybody else, but the breakthrough that I want is to see your glory be manifest here on earth. And the only way your glory can be manifest here on earth is if we, the church, will start being the church that you call us to be. Father, forgive us for not being the church that you call us to be. You call us to be the end time church. And we haven't been doing that, Father. We've been so used to going to a church building that the reason why we can't see your will being done on earth is because we are not going outside the church walls and telling people about you. Father, I don't know about anybody else, but it breaks my heart to see many churches focus on a church building and not focus on doing your work. Father, help us as a collective body come back to doing your will. Help us light our will, our mind, and our emotions out with yours. Because in order for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we have to have our mind, our wills, and our emotions lined up with yours. Father, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And you call us to be your end-time church. Father, as I close this prayer, help us see that we need to get busy being about your business and not about the church. And not about the physical church building, but we have to get busy about advancing the kingdom of God so that your glory can be revealed here on earth. It is in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Terrence. We just thank you and for making our request known to God, and we appreciate you and just thank you for being there for us and praying. Amen.
You are welcome.
Have a great day.
You as well.
Enjoy your day. Okay.
I will.
Thanks, Terrence. Okay. All right. I am truly having a great time this morning. I hope you are too. And with more to come, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word, a message from God. Icing on the cake, the best part. After this selection, the next voice you will hear, and we will have the pleasure of hearing, is our very own brother, Minister John McFaul. Prepare to receive Minister John McFaul coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
somebody like you just to include me. You could have left me out, but you wouldn't have it that way. When I stepped out of the line, your love stepped in my place, and I belong here. Hey, I wanna stay here forever.
Okay, we seem to, well, let me turn this monitor down. We're having a little difficulty finding our preacher, amen. I don't know if I should play another song or what, or
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go, there you go.
Sorry, I didn't hear the system say you are now in the host queue.
Right.
So that kind of threw me off. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Minister John Mack, coming to you live from Lincoln Park, Michigan. And I thank God for this day that he woke me up to see it. I want to say good morning to the Running for Christ family and all the Blog Talk listeners that tune in to us weekly. I thank you, thank you, for thank you. Thank you for Reverend O and his other half. And just bless your people as I bring your word to you on this day, Father. Father, let's pray before we start. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you woke us up this day. We ask that you open our hearts to hear your word on this day, Father. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, real simple. Amen. Amen. Good morning. I want to talk to you about something that affects us all. I try to go to scripture that we won't be exempt. Some people think that certain scripture don't apply to them, but this is a clear reminder that it does. Matthew 29:18, when Jesus commanded disciples to make go out into the world and make disciples. So I started to think about that, about being a disciple. What does that really mean? Is that like being a mentor? Because to be a mentor, you gotta hang around a person for a minute. You got to learn their ways. You got to know if they have a godly spirit. You got to know if they're willing to learn. You know, that being said, this morning, who is your mentor? Can you think of somebody who mentored you in Christ? You know, were they positive people? Were they negative people? Were they Christians or non-Christians that mentored you? When you try to make disciples of mankind, right, that's everybody. Everybody is a part of that list. You know, so I try to stay open, but I try to bring a deeper understanding to what the Word of God is talking about. When was the last time you discipled someone? Think about that. You're around people 24/7, all the time, in church, out of church, at the job. Who have you discipled? Say in the last month, say in the last 2 months, say the last 6 months, say in the last year. Could you pick out two or three people that you brought up under your wing to teach them the word of the Lord, to disciple them, to prepare them to go out into the world? Think about that. Then it brings the other question is, what are we doing with our time that we're not discipling people for the Lord? Are we just getting up, going to work, and just going through the motions? Or are we really focused on certain individuals that need to be discipled? You know, mentoring or making disciples of men, it's not an easy task to take on. Think about it. Jesus was a disciple to his disciples, all 12, not one, all 12, for 3 years. You know the things they seen and heard and saw that Jesus actually did? And Jesus was constantly in teaching mode. Constantly, where it's walking on water, you a little faith, where you know it's just trusting God with everything. Jesus is pointing out to us, he did 12, and he did 12 for a reason, to send them on a worldwide mission to share the gospel. Just think about the people in the Bible, for example. Paul mentored Timothy. He had Peter and Paul. You had Moses and Joshua. You had Naomi and Ruth. You had Aaron and Samuel. You had Elijah and Elijah, right? You had Esther and Mordecai. So throughout the Bible, you see relationships where one was the teacher, one was the learner, with a specific purpose. You know, Timothy was a little timid early on, right? He said, you know, Timothy's a young guy preaching to old people. He was a little intimidated because he was young and knew the word of God, that the older people wouldn't listen to him because he was so young. Right? And Paul had to remind him that Eunice, you came off the hip learning the word of God. So just because you're young, you still years ahead of them just because of where you came from. That's a deep statement in and of itself. What kind of parents were your parents? Were they positive? Were they negative? Did they go to church? Did they encourage you to go to church? Did you see them read the Bible? Did you see them pray? Did you see any reflection of spirituality in them when it comes to people close to you? I know people who go to church all the time. You would think that they was Jesus' best friend. Then later that evening, you try not to judge, but you watching people. Then you see them go get a beer, go play some lotto, do things that Jesus wouldn't do, but they do it. And so sometimes being when you disciple people, you got to watch your behavior also. They're watching you, and you got to watch yourself. You got to make sure the message that you convey It's strictly about Jesus. It's about advancing his kingdom. I know ain't none of us perfect. We all have our vices to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But we must be conscious of the word of God and how that applies to our life, how that applies to people who are watching us. Because at the end of the day, it is all about Jesus. It's all about him. If we're going to be his representatives, let us be good representatives, right? Let us set our focus on those that we know that need to be mentored, that need to be discipled. Sometimes you know they don't know because of whatever situation they come from, but you must make a concerted effort to go beside them. You know, ask them godly questions. See where they mind at. Because you want to teach them worldly knowledge, but you want to teach them spiritual issues. You know, we must be concerned about what God is concerned about. Most of us concerned about ourselves and not God. That realizing whatever we're going through, it's God who takes us through. I gave you examples of how those in the Bible paired off, and they would use self to each other. They figured out what they need, and when a certain amount of time, they delivered. They gave them what they needed to learn, you know? Ask yourself this question. What does it take for you to be a good disciple? What attributes of God must you show? You know, so we have to look around us and ask myself, am I ready to be a mentor? Can I disciple? Yeah. If you know Jesus, you can say something godly. You know, most people think you need the whole Bible. They need to know the whole Bible. And that stops them. No, we got enough God in us to communicate that to people who don't have God. You know, and we can always open that word and look up in the reference section and point people, because you don't know everything. You don't want to be one who comes across as one who knows everything. But you can be that individual and say, hey, let's look that up together. I'm curious to know what that's all about also, you know? So they'll see that you have the knowledge of God, but you don't mind spending time with them to teach them the word of God. Just remember this. Jesus had 12 disciples up under him for 3 years. You know how hard it is to get 12 knuckleheads together, knowing that they come from different backgrounds, but Jesus still used them. He still spoke godly truth into their life. And that's what I'm talking about. What do people see in you that makes them want to listen to you? Can you walk up to any, not even 12 people, 5 people, and say, drop what you're doing and follow me? They don't look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean follow you? Right? Yeah, what I said. If you can see the God in me and you can see where we're going, then you would drop all that you're doing and follow me. Jesus said, whatever you lose for me, you'll get it back 100-fold. So what do you have to lose? You have to have your mindset to learn the ways of God. The disciples, they saw something in Jesus. Jesus called them out. And they had no problems dropping what they had to drop. I just wonder if we can find 3 people that we can say that to. You know what I mean? Just imagine walking up to somebody you know, not somebody you don't know. Say, I need you to drop what you're doing and follow me. We're gonna go on an excursion for the Lord for the next 3 years. They go say, man, what about my mama? What about my girlfriend? Jesus wasn't worried about all that, right? Because he said he's gonna give it back to you 100-fold. So he's asking you to trust him. Trust me. I teach you a better way. I teach you a new way. I teach you how to honor the Father who is in heaven. Because he's in me and I'm in him. So therefore, if I'm going to teach you what I learned from him. Simple process, guys. So what's the difference between being a mentor and a disciple? What I think it is may be different from you. You know, being a mentor, you know, you have to develop a close relationship. You have to let them know that I know a little bit about the Bible. And a little bit I know, I want to teach you. And as we take this walk together, we can learn from each other. You never want to be the one who know it all. You want to be the one to say, hey, God, give me what I need to deliver your message to these three people I reached out to. And when you see where I'm weak, make me strong. Make me strong for you. We have all been in a situation where we wish we had a godly person to talk to. But I can tell you there's a benefit to talking to godly people because they can make you see things from a godly perspective that you didn't see. They'll teach you that it's not about you, it's about the Lord. It teaches you that you have a mission on this earth before you leave. God just let you come into the world so you can get a job and buy a car and have a good job, then die. No, you got work to do. And so that's one of the things that has to be conveyed to all people, all age groups. Young people know that they got a job to do. You know, they need to obey their parents and learn as much as they can about the Lord. Older people need to understand it ain't too old to learn something new in Christ. I don't care if you're 80. If you don't know the Lord, you don't know nothing to me. God gave you 80 years on the earth, so you're not to worship him? No. You can't blame your mama and your dad and your household and your experiences when you've been here 80 years. You should have seen enough to know enough that you need to know more in Christ. You would hate to leave this earth at 80 and 90 years old and not reaching out to anyone. We can all look back in our neighborhood and find that one person that seemed to be in order. You know, he washed his car on a certain day. He cut his grass on a certain day. He went to church on this day. He went to Bible study on that day. There's been examples around us that we just haven't paid attention to. That's the real deal. That's the honest to God truth. You know, I knew where they was going, right? Not once did I ask, can I go? Or not once did I ask, what are y'all doing in that building? Not once did I ask, what do y'all believe in? Not once did I ask, why is it important to go every Sunday or every Wednesday night for Bible study? Those are questions I had at a young age. Then as I went on the search, next time I see him, I'm going to ask him. I'm already curious anyway, you know. I want to know what's going on. And the only way I can do that is ask people who are there, not people that don't go. Me and my friends at a young age, we all didn't go to church, you know, not consistently, you know, but we went. We knew by listening to Reverend Barlow that we was going to get something, you know. And at that time, he had a way of making us understand that it ain't about you, it's about the Lord. Have you been obedient to the Lord? Have you been respectful to the name of Jesus? Have you tried to walk in his ways? Right. And we go see the pastors when it's time to get married. We need to go see them before that and make sure that we're all on the same page. You know? And the only way you can do that is about being around someone who is willing to be a mentor to you, to want someone who is willing to be a disciple, to try to lead you in the ways of God. So one day you pick up the mantle and you'll walk with it and be proud. So as you go out throughout your day, just look at your circle. Look at those that are eager to learn, all right, but afraid to ask to learn. Look at those, all your coworkers and all your family members. You just can't have parties and hang out. You've been equipped, right, because you've been around godly people to deliver a godly message to those. Ain't no sense of being ashamed of the gospel. You can tell them everything else, but you can't tell them about Jesus? Come on. Think about that. They tell you what happened at the party last night, what happened at the club, this and that. Oh, that's nonsense. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them who can save you. Tell them who can change your life, can open up your mind, can tap into your spirit. That's what people need to hear, you know? They don't need to hear you complaining or what happened to so-and-so, right? Because it's enough misery going on to be upset. But be upset at the right person, not the wrong person. The one that's committed to holding on to your hand. The one that's committed to discipling you. You know, I asked you to find three people. Jesus had 12 disciples. I'm asking you to find two. I'd be lucky if you could find one that'll listen to you. Because how you act and how you behave dictates your faith to people. You know? And some things you're just going to have to give up. A lot of the worldly stuff that don't make reference to God, you need to just give it up. Give it up. Or if you're going to be around certain people, let them know your intentions so they won't be deceived. Oh, you trying to trick me? No, I'm trying to give you the truth. So the truth alone will set you free from your ways. Not me. I'm just delivering a message that you need to hear. Only thing I'm asking you to do is hear and change your ways. You know, Jesus wants to change our ways. He wants us to be positive. He wants us to be good representations of him. Not bad. Like I said, Jesus had 12 disciples. Then I outlined other people in the Bible that had disciples or mentors. It was a lot of them. But the ultimate one is Jesus. Think about it. He had 12 for 3 years. That is not an easy task with dealing with two people. Imagine dealing with 12. All different personalities, all different backgrounds. And Jesus had to bring all these individuals to one accord about who he was and his Father. It wasn't easy, but he knew they can do it. It took 3 years to get them to the point where they need to be, but Jesus did it. So how long will it take you to disciple somebody? Think about that for a minute. How long would it take you to disciple just one person, not 12? And a life reflect the change. Jesus required change. He required evidence of the change. You know, he know we're not perfect. He know we made mistakes. You know, he restored Peter when Peter denied him 3 times. Why? Because he knew he had to restore him. You made a mistake. I told you I was going to make a mistake. Let me restore you because I need you for the future. So think about that. I'm going to challenge you today to find one person you can mentor, not 12, just one. Someone you can sit down with and read the Bible. Some things that you may not understand or have a full understanding. Be willing to ask those that know more than you, that have studied more than you. Be willing to ask them. And you may have to sit with them so they can give you a better clarification of God's word so you can communicate that to the person you're trying to disciple. There's help out there. Jesus ain't going to leave you out here stranded by yourself. He's going to give you enough people, enough ministries, enough people with the knowledge of God to make sure you get the truth, not a lie. Satan wants to tell you you're too busy to do all that. But people don't really care about all that. Remember, he's the father of lies. His job is to lie to you and tell you don't be a mentor. Don't disciple anybody. That's not important to God. No, you must know the word of God to defend the lies. You must know the word of God to defend what Satan would tell you. How he know what people are feeling? He's already doomed. He don't care if you learn or not. He prefers that you don't learn. The less knowledge you have of God, the less that you can defend the word of God and the ways of God and the attributes of God. There's only one way to do that. You got to stick your face in his word. I admit some days I'm guilty, right? But I catch myself, you know. Every time I wake up in the morning, I'm thankful no matter what I'm personally going through. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about my trust in him. It's that, can I believe what God said he could do? I believe. I don't know about you. I believe. God wants to know no matter what happened in my personal life, will I trust him? I thank God that I've been around enough godly people to know better. Those who remind me of who he is at all times. I am so thankful. That's why when I witness and talk to people, I am thinking about those who discipled me early on, right? Who told me the benefits of sitting down and reading his word and meditating on his word, who showed me the benefit of being around ungodly people and godly people. There is a difference. Better believe it. There is a difference. So I want you guys to remember that as we start this day. I challenge you to find one person that you could be a disciple to. They're not that far from you. They're all around you. And if you struggle in that area of your life, lift it up before God. He already knows. If you open your heart to it, God will make a way. He'll bring the right people at the right time, at the right place, to deal with the right circumstance in your life. Excuse me. So I want you to remember that. So as I end this, let's end in prayer. We started with prayer. Let's end with it. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. Excuse me. It's a simple message. It's a message that challenges us, Father God, to be focused on the things of God. Give us the strength and energy and the knowledge we need to be a disciple for those in need, Father. Let us be clear about your word. So as we deliver your word, we'll be clear about that too. So Father, cover your people through the rest of this day. Excuse me. Let's cover them all, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. That was an amazing word on so many levels. And, you know, I think one of the things that the body of Christ struggles with is the fact that we, most of us, you know, if we're not a pastor or a bishop or a elder or something like that, we feel as though we're not adequate. You know, we feel inadequate when it comes time to witnessing and speaking to others and telling people about Christ, as if there's this outline of things that we have to say and we have to read and memorize in order to be able to tell a person about Jesus. When realistically speaking, the only thing that we need to do is reflect the Jesus that's in us onto others, tell people about our lives and what God has done for us. And that's our testimony. And we have to meet people where they are in order to be able to get a person to see that we don't have to just hit somebody upside the head with the word, but we just have to explain and always be ready to tell people about their Jesus in us. And we know this world, being as evil and as hot mess and horrible as it is, that for the most part, the only Jesus that people see is the Jesus that's in us. And so we have an obligation as the body of Christ to project and reflect the Lord that's in us onto others, and to help people to see that as they're watching us, because we're being watched as the body of Christ. Everybody's watching us, whether people pay attention to it or not. I know sometimes we're oblivious because we're so busy in our own things, but people are always watching, and they're not always watching to do bad things or to be opportunistic or to, you know, hurt us or harm us, but people just watch how we live because we're part of the body of Christ. And so we have an obligation, even in the midst of everything else that's going on in our lives and in this world, to speak on behalf of the Lord. We have got to shine onto others. We have got to, Jesus said, we're the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. And we have an obligation for people to see those qualities in us. And again, the best way to disciple to someone or to talk to someone about the Lord is to give them your testimony about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. So there's just so much that I could just expound on that word. But again, the song that was played before Pastor John Mack came on is a song that I love so much, and it talks about there's a place for you, there's a place for me, there's a place for everyone in the body of Christ. We don't have to fight for position. We don't have to fight for rank. We don't have to fight for promotion. All we have to do is walk in and live in the purpose that God has created for us, and everything else will fall into place. Amen. We all have a place in the body of Christ. Amen. So what an awesome word. After announcements, as you guys know, Pastor will come back on and give some closing words. Amen. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to partake in our Saturday morning worship service. It has been an absolutely wonderful time in the Lord. And we always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour this morning. It was Pastor John McFall, who brought us an amazing word today. And we know that every time he comes on, he's always ready to bless us with the word from the Lord. And so we thank him for his faithfulness and his consistency, as well as his obedience to bring us the word this morning. And so we pray that you were blessed in some way by what you heard, whether it was a song, whether it was a sermon, whether it was, our church school this morning, or the reading of our scripture and opening prayer. Whatever it is, we pray that you were blessed in some way by what you heard today, so that you can turn your heart towards God. Amen. Amen. So Running for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Second to the address that you always need to know, which is your residential address, is the address of Run for Christ Ministries, okay? That's the second best address that you need to know. You don't need to know anything else, just where you live and the church address, okay? Amen. 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple of announcements, of course. Every Monday at 6 p.m., our new class, Get a Grip, is here on Blog Talk Radio. It is so good, y'all. Each week, we're discussing a different topic on mental health and how it relates and how it ties into Christianity, and learning how to just keep it all together when everything's going wrong, amen? So Deaconess Dr. June Rogers is our teacher, our amazing, amazing teacher. She does an amazing job in this class. So please join us here on Mondays at 6 p.m. On Blog Talk Radio. Spread the word. Share the classes. Let people know that this is going on. Mental health is essential to how we're able to function in our lives. And we know that while we're not all going through the same things at the same time, we're all going through some form of something. And everybody is not mentally created equal. And so some things that people go through are harder to deal with than others. And we're going through a lot of different topics, and we're relating it to what went on in biblical days. People feel like the Bible, oh, it's an old book. It doesn't apply to anything that's going on today. But we know that there's nothing new under the sun, okay? And what happened then is happening now and vice versa. So we're having an awesome time, you know, hearing about things and talking about different topics that are going on in our lives today and relating it and correlating it with the Word of God and just trying to work through some things. So if you're not listening, if you're not partaking, if you're not participating, please, please do. It is definitely something that's essential to all of us. So, again, Get a Grip is here on Monday nights at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. The study questions are available online on our church website, rfcm.org, and Pastor also sends an email out with them. So either way, you have access to the questions for discussion. Amen. Amen. Also, don't forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., excuse me, Reverend Richard Overall, it's here on Blog Talk Radio, teaching the history of each training day. Lord, have mercy. If y'all not listening, I promise you, you are missing out. Set yourself a reminder each week and listen in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Please, he has a whole entire hour to himself. It is so, so full. We get a song in the beginning and a song at the end. He got a whole hour, and boy, is it full. So if you're not listening, please make sure to set yourself a reminder for every Tuesday at 4 p.m. and tune in to Training Day. Amen. Our Bible reading class, as you know, is held on Wednesdays here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is teaching chapters 7 through 12 in the book of Psalms. So the questions are available online for you to access, and for those in attendance on Sunday service, in Sunday service, they will be on the back table. Also, to get them from our church website, of course, just go to rfcm.org under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, Pastor sends an email. I feel like I saw my email with my questions, but if not, there's an email coming out, and if so, check your email, because I think they already came out. Amen? Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, which is a ladies' Bible class, is happening from 11:30 a.m. To 1 p.m. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. And initially, I know for the first couple weeks we were, you know, giving her address and things like that, but it has switched to being over the phone. So if you want to participate in the Bondage Breaker Ministries Ladies Bible Class that happens every Saturday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., you need to contact Pastor Tate, all right? So contact Pastor Janice Tate. So, again, go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and you'll be able to locate her phone number there and make contact with her so that you're able to participate in there. Amen. So, as you all know, excuse me, we are back in our in-person services on Sunday. So tomorrow, Sunday, October 24th, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. Everyone, of course, is welcome to join us. But if you do, we are asking that you wear a mask, okay? If you don't have one, one will most definitely be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe during our service. Our amazing praise team, as always, will lead us in our song worship. And tomorrow, Pastor Jonathan Tate will be bringing the preached word to us. Amen. We know Pastor O is excited. He could barely get off from in front of the church last Sunday because he's talking about he was off for 2 weeks. So he was running back to the back because he don't have to preach. So I know that he is happy to get that little rest time. But we also know that when he's getting his rest time, the Lord is still filling him up. So it really is never ending. Amen. So Pastor Jonathan Tate will be bringing the preached word tomorrow. As always, we're so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person to see one another. And if you're not able to attend or if you're still not comfortable being in person, that's absolutely no problem. We fully understand that. So please just feel free to listen to the service on Blog Talk Radio. Amen? Amen. So Wednesday, October 27th, which is our fourth Wednesday of this month, and then we have one more month, next month, the month of November, from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., we know that First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of Run for Christ Ministries right at the bus stop, praying with people, praying for people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches and having conversation with people, getting people, you know, as they're coming off of the bus and being able to, you know, talk to people and just kind of see where people are at. People have, you know, Pastor has said that people out of all the things that are being given, are asking for prayers the most. So if you're able to participate, if you're able to make it out, please do. We've seen pictures. We get updates all the time about it every time that it happens. And it's really a wonderful thing to be a part of. You know, going back to what Pastor John Mack talked about, you know, are you discipling someone? What are you saying? This is a really good opportunity to be able to do so. So, again, on Wednesday the 27th, beginning at 10 a.m., if you're able to participate and be out in front of Run for Christ Ministries right at that bus stop, you are more than welcome to do so. The more, the merrier. Amen. Amen. So also every Sunday at 4 o'clock, our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show Back to the Family. Amen. And so we know Back to the Family discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. And so you can find her call-in number on our church website, again, rfcm.org. Under Christian Resources, she's got a phone number there. There's also a link to the class if you want to listen by PC. So, again, set yourself a reminder for Sunday at 4 p.m. to be able to tune in. Also, the website for Bring Back the Family is bbtfus.com. So Bring Back the Family, U-S, bbtfus.com. Amen? Amen. Got a real quick, just simple little announcement. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers wanted me to mention this morning that today, Saturday, October 23rd, is the DEA's Drug Take Back Day. So you can, you know, bring all of your old medications, you know, that you don't use, don't take, that are old or expired. You can just drop them off at your local police department. No questions asked. We know that it's safer than flushing them, or safer than, you know, just throwing them away in a dumpster where we know that they could potentially get into the wrong hands. So if you have any old medication or meds that you're not using, or meds that you're not even comfortable with using or even having in your home, please, please drop them off at your local police department so that they can be disposed of properly. Amen. Amen. Also, a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Again, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and you have access to all of our classes and services here on Blog Talk Radio that have happened since the beginning. Amen. So you can download them, listen to them, and share them with others. And to be able to go back all the way to the beginning when Pastor was doing this every single day, what the Bible says every single day, there is tons and tons and tons and tons of content on there. And it is a really good way to help you in your Christian walk, because we went through the Bible, I think, at least twice in the earlier days. Pastor was going book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse every single day, 5 days a week. And he was still, this was before we were even here on our Saturday morning worship service, and we didn't have anything on here other than what the Bible says. None of our Bible classes were on here. None of that was going on. It was just Pastor O talking to us and telling us about the Bible and breaking it down every single day for a lot of years. So it's a really good way to start off your Christian walk. You can start at the beginning and walk verse by verse through the Bible. Amen. So also, if you'd like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay tithes or give any offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org. All of that information is listed there for you. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought us that amazing word today, and that was Pastor John McFaul. Again, rfcm.org is the place to go under tithes and offerings, and you can give your love offering there. Just notate that it's for Pastor John Mack, and it will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen? Amen. So I've been asking this for a while. I'm going to ask it again. Why do we pray? Why do I pray? Why do you pray? Why should we pray? Why is prayer important? So number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship from us and not religion. Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. We know that God is not unaware of what goes on with us. We know that he is all-knowing, and we know that when you're all-knowing, nothing catches you by surprise. Nothing God sees like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh, I didn't see that. Yeah, no, we don't have a God who is unaware, okay? Fully connected with us, fully knowing, knows everything all of the time, no matter what, all right? But God is a gentleman, and so we know that he is not into going to people's houses and kicking doors down. God don't do all that. He wants to be invited into our lives. He's not going to force himself in, but he will stand at the door and knock and knock and knock until you open and let him in. I mean, he's not going to force himself. Praise God. Number three, prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not a one-way conversation. Like I said, it's not you standing in the mirror talking to you and you getting all your answers from you. No, okay? The dialogue. We talk to God. He listens. He talks to us. We should also be listening. Amen? Number four, God wants your heart. So when you speak, he wants you to speak from your heart because we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth thinks and bad. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so we know that the Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and yes, the absolute ugly of our lives. He knows it anyway, because remember I said he knows everything. So give him your heart, all right? He can handle it. There is nothing that we can go through in this life. People may not know everything, and you may be able to fool them, but you'll never be able to keep anything that's going on with you hidden from God. And he wants us to bring those things to him, those things that keep us in bondage and keep us from being able to live our true and real best lives, all right? So give everything to the Lord. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Amen. You can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. So just think about how far out you are sometimes in your sin and how you think, oh my gosh, I have no way of coming back from this. Well, you do, because once you confess it, Jesus is right there. He wipes it clean and he works with you to turn away from that sin and to move forward from that. So no matter where you are in your sins, in your life, or in the things that you do, God is never far away. Amen. And number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. Yeah, we got authority. We might not have a lot of authority here on this earth, but we have tons of spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I know the news, social media, what you see, hear, and go through every single day, we think that it's people that we're fighting against. It's not, and we need to be mature as Christians to realize that it's not the person that we're fighting against, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so how do we fix all of this? With prayer. Prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we have been given authority over him. Just like Pastor John Mack said, he knows his time is a ticking, okay? He knows that he is doomed. He is not unaware. He knows his time is coming to an end. Amen. So when the enemy starts doing what he does, we know that he's a liar. He's a father of lies. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. So when all that stuff starts going on, use the power of prayer to fight back. We use the word of God to fight off the enemy, as it's only the word of God that he responds to. We know that when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, the enemy came and tried to tempt him three separate times. Jesus swatched him quick with the word of God three separate times, and he went on, skedaddled on about his business, all right? So if we know that Jesus had to pray, we are not exempt from needing to pray as well. So why do we pray? Because we have the power and the authority to do so, and because it is essential to being victorious in every area of our lives. Amen? So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, pray like this. Say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we know that we must see God in all that we do. And he promised to be with us at all times. So it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Remember, there is a place for me, you, and everyone in the body of Christ. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so we know when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. I think it was Dr. Tony Evans. I feel like I remember him saying, if you turn every worry into a prayer, as soon as you start worrying about something, we know worrying is a human thing. We tend to say it's just kind of a natural thing. It's a human thing, and it speaks to our imperfection. And so when you realize and are self-aware that worry is starting to creep up, because legitimately we do have concerns and worries and fears and things like that, it's natural for us as humans, turn those into prayers. Turn those into prayers. And then when you realize that you're turning those things into prayers, you will find yourself praying first and praying continually. Amen. So speaking of prayer, we always continually ask for your prayers for those who are sick, any type of sickness, any level of sickness, any degree of sickness. We're asking that you lift them up in prayer. Those who are shut in, those who are hospitalized for whatever reason, those who are incarcerated. And speaking of incarceration, we are going to be speaking about incarceration in our Get a Grip series on Monday. So this is going to be really important. So we need to keep those who are incarcerated in prayer. Obviously, continue to pray for one another personally. And, of course, you know, pray for yourself. Make sure to pray for all of our children. This generation is something else, okay? There is a lot going on. It's like they're living and conducting themselves as though they have no hope. They live in the moment. There's no thought of the future. There's no thought of any consequences. There's no thought of you know, I do this, and there's no thought after that of, okay, after I've done this. So, like, we really, really, really need to pray for our kids, all ages, newborns, all the way up until, you know, just pray for all of our kids, because we all somebody's kids, okay? So just pray for all of our children, of course, our nation, our entire world, of course, all of our leaders on every single level, as they are always facing decisions that affect all of us. Pray that those who belong to Christ but who are in those positions of power stand up and not be afraid to not be reelected or to not be promoted or to be afraid to stand up for what they believe in the Lord, because they're worried about losing everything else that this world may have to offer them, or so they think. All right, so they face decisions that they have to make for us all the time. So we need to pray for those who have the rule over us, that they make the right decisions, and so they do the things that are best according to what the Lord says and not according to what they feel works best for them. Amen. Continue to pray for all of those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and sexually abused. We just spoke about sexual assault and rape and things like that in our Get a Grip series that we just had this past Monday. And I don't know, but it just made me feel some type of way, and it just illuminated so much in my mind. So we really, really, really need to continue to pray for those who are being sexually abused and violated and trafficked. It's just so much. Of course, we need to make sure to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And there's just so much more. We know the list of prayer and things to pray for is inexhaustible. And so we just need to lift everything up to the Lord, because he is the only one who can do everything about anything or do anything about everything. Okay. Amen. So special prayers go out to all of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. Of course, keep Tyrone Hamilton again with Mother Cheryl. She gets extra prayers lifted up in your prayers. Also Elder Joe Stevens and his family. We heard Pastor John Mack today, but we know that he's still going through some things, so please keep your special prayers lifted up for him as well. Amen. And so we know that we must pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is, all right? Remember, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem. So that's your household. Start with the folks up under your roof, all right? Judea, your community, the grocery store, the McDonald's, the here and there and everywhere that you go that's close to home, that's in your community. Samaria, outside of, you know, your comfort zone, outside of your community, the people and places where you normally wouldn't go to and associate with, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we know these are people in places you're like, nope, them, never. Well, we have an obligation. They need to hear the word of God as well. And it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus so that no souls are left behind. Matthew 25:41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and not people, not people. We are not angels. We are people, and hell is not for us. But we know that ultimately some will end up there, unfortunately, in eternal torment. And so we know that this life here on this earth is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. All right? Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So please, don't force your way into a place that was not created for you. John 14:3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. And we know that I is Jesus, and he has clearly told you that he has gone away to prepare a place for us, and that place is not hell. All right? Amen. So Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad, heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with all the loss that we are inundated with on a daily basis, use these scriptures and just use the whole word of God, amen, to give you the strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaving, hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Matthew 5:14 through 16 says, you, me, I, us, all right? We are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained an angel or two without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So we're wrapping up this month, October. I think we got one more Saturday. So happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. We know how we do at Running for Christ Ministries, and we send special birthday love and wishes to our RFCM family. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Pastor Terrence celebrated on the 9th, Pastor Janice on the 10th, both Kunaya and Zekaness Lolo, amen, Loretta Welch, celebrating on the 15th, and we got one more birthday, and that's DeAndre, and they'll be celebrating on the 30th, amen. So happy, happy birthday to everyone, amen. So your devotional for today, great is thy faithfulness, and this is from a really cool website that I follow when I get their devotionals, and it's from Prone to Wander LA, so Los Angeles, amen. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that's Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. I'm sure you would agree with me that when life is going well, it is easier to acknowledge that God is faithful. We don't tend to question his presence and ability to work things out when everything is okay. But the struggle to continue to trust in the faithfulness of God happens when we try to make sense of hard, painful, and unfair situations. When we witness old people dying with no family around them, children getting sick and abused, when evil is celebrated in society, when the corrupt and lazy get ahead in life and the righteous remain in poverty, declaring that God is faithful starts to sound like an irrational claim or a silly statement of blind faith. How can we have faith in God's trustworthiness when he seems absent in our circumstances? Do we just sing the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," until we're blue in the face, or loud enough until we feel better about our situation? It is worth noting that this familiar hymn comes from the book of Lamentations, a book by the prophet Jeremiah during a dark and bleak time in Israel's history. The first part, Lamentations chapter 3, describes the struggle, sorrow, and sadness Jeremiah was experiencing, that in verse 19 he says, "My endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord." Prophet was discouraged beyond words, a situation you and I are familiar with. Like Jeremiah, we are God believers who still live in a world where sin's consequences are still very much in effect. To deny the evil that exists is to be untruthful. So how do we grapple with the truth that God is faithful when we don't see his hand or feel his presence near? We read further, and the chapter makes a shift in verse 21. In the most down moment, here's what Jeremiah decides to do. He says, "But this I call to mind." He chooses to remember. Remember what? The Lord's covenant with his people. Instead of being overwhelmed by his current state, he chooses to be overwhelmed by the faithfulness of God by recalling how he has taken care of Israel through the years. He declares, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The same God who gave his promise to Abraham, parted the Red Sea, provided for them in the desert, and delivered Jericho into their hands is the same God actively fulfilling his covenant to the people of Israel right now. He is the same God in Jeremiah's circumstance. He is the same God sovereign in your difficult situation today. Because our understanding is limited, it may not look like it or feel like it, but it doesn't matter, because this we know: God is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He has never failed, and he never will. He will bring to completion the work that he has started. So when you are in the midst of a situation too difficult to comprehend, remember that you are living in two realities: the reality of your problem and the reality that your faithful, covenant-keeping God will see you through. Choose to dwell on the latter. This truth we need to call to mind, because though he is constant and steadfast, we are prone to forget. Are you feeling discouraged or hopeless right now? God understands. He invites you to shift your gaze towards him and put your trust in his plan for you. Remember the work he has done throughout generations and the work he has done in you. He is faithful to finish what he has begun. And so we'll say this prayer together. Our faithful God, whatever situation we might find ourselves in today, we just want to declare our faith in you. Father, we trust you. You have our full confidence because you have never failed. Life is difficult, and many times we will not understand everything that is happening. But this we know: you are working everything out for our good and for your glory. In your goodness, we will rest. You will complete the good work that you have begun. So this we pray in Jesus' name. Be filled with his spirit and encouraged today as you keep on keeping on. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. And amen. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that. Amen.
You're welcome.
Hey. Right. Have a blessed day. Tell me we said, hey.
You too. I sure will.
Amen. We thank God for Crystal and for all the announcements, and we pray that you govern yourselves thereby. I just want to say to Pastor John McFaul, thank you for that word. You know, the whole purpose of the church, as far as what Jesus said over there, after we baptize them, okay, after we tell them about Jesus and they join the church, become a member of the body of Christ, that's the church I'm talking about, not that building, but the body of Christ. Okay, next, Jesus wants us to do for them what he did for us. He wants us to become disciples. Amen. To disciple those like we were discipled, and to continue that until he comes back. He said it like this: baptism in the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? And after you've done that, then teach them what I taught you. And that is a good challenge to us. Pastor Barlow used to challenge the membership every time he preached a sermon to do something. Amen. That way you take the word home with you. So find somebody. Now, if your Christian life is kind of raggedy, amen, nobody really want to follow you because you talk right and walk left like I used to. Amen. They see it, but you don't. Amen. You're talking loud but not saying a whole lot. You can fix that up. All you have to do is turn like the Lord say, if my people called by my name would turn from that and turn toward me, this, I'll hear from heaven and fix everything. Amen. So you can always fix that. But you ought to have somebody who admires your walk with Jesus so much they want to walk with you. You know, there's a man in the in history. His name was Dominic of Guzman. And Dominic of Guzman founded the group we call today the Dominicans. They're Catholic, but they're kind of reformer Catholics. Okay? Now, there was a man who admired Dominic of Guzman and his ministry, his work, his order. And he followed Dominic Guzman for a long time. You know who that man was? St. Francis of Assisi. In my book, I had to put it in there, one of his prayers. Lord have mercy, to have walked with that man, to have been discipled by that man. Okay? Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He came alongside Dominic, and he left everything. As Pastor Mack was saying, he left everything to come alongside Dominic of Guzman and walk with him. And he did, and he mentored him, and he created the group we call today the Franciscans. The current Pope patterns himself after St. Francis in the way of giving. Okay? So anyway, that is what the Lord wants us to do. So this week, continue, receive the challenge from Pastor Mack. Go out and disciple somebody. There should be somebody, your children, okay, your brothers and sisters, maybe even your parents. I mean, amen, they might not know Jesus, but you do. I remember a girl in my Sunday school class who brought her father to church after she discipled her father. Okay, so look for somebody that trusts your walk with Jesus and do this. Lead somebody to Christ. Teach somebody who's in Christ. And then look to help somebody who's in or outside the body of Christ. And there's plenty of work for us to do. Amen. So I thank Pastor Mack for that on-time word today. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. She is so awesome. She's on the road and still getting it done. Some folk can't get it done at home. She's getting it done. She's on the road, but did not drop her duty to the Lord. She fitted it into her life. Amen. And that gift made room for her. And you wouldn't have even known if I didn't tell you. She's riding down the freeway towards, amen, her destination. But I thank God for her. I thank God for Keita Freeman. Come on and read, give us an opening prayer in the scripture. And, of course, Pastor Terrence Tate, who went before the Lord with us. Amen. We all came together. And again, of course, Pastor John Mack with that awesome word, make a disciple. Amen. And Crystal for giving us announcements. And, amen, sermons and Bible classes all in one shot. So God bless you. God keep you. Don't forget, tomorrow at Running for Christ Ministries, Pastor Jonathan Tate will be bringing the word. And on the fifth Sunday, Pastor Janice Tate, our assistant, will be bringing the word. I've got a little while off from, well, I don't know how it's off. It's just doing something else. But anyway, I thank God for that time. Amen. I like this song. I always like to close with something special. This is a song by Canton Jones. And it simply says, Lord, I want to do what you like. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. See you when we see you.
I want to do what you like. I want to do what you like.
you like. I wanna do what you like. When you do what you like, I know it will be right, yeah.
I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I just wanna be pleasing, pleasing you in all that I do. I just wanna be you, don't get it confused. This ain't about me and my stuff and the way that I feel, feel, feel. It's all about God and the kingdom and doing his will. Me and the homies, we be in the block, telling the block by the rock. And all the lost hear the lesson. He took the curse, here's the blessings. Now pushing the presence and do what he say. He gon' take every single fade away. Put your trust in him every single day. You look to the heavens and say, I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna make you smile. I wanna be the one that make you laugh out loud. I want your will to be done. I wanna be the one that you be calling me son. I wanna spread your love. Take it to all of these honeys and all of these thugs. I want them to look to you. And just like you got me hooked, I want them hooked on you. So weird, they get in the presence. They feel your essence, they feel so light. They wanna prison worship you all night. They don't wanna leave, they don't wanna leave, they don't wanna leave. What is this that I am feeling? Feeling like my body's healing. You make it easy to things that were hard. Man, I am loving the presence of God. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like.
I hope you like that, cause I wanna do what you like.